Beautiful.
So that's why you play steel drum music?
Right, right.
Oh, that's your, is that your favorite kind of music?
No, not my favorite, but I mean, it's, no.
Ranks way up there.
Right, yeah.
All righty, how are you doing today? Everything good?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, all righty. Well, we're going to have an open, there's no promo for the Saturday special today.
What?
No promo.
So what's it going to be about?
Who knows? We just don't know what's going to happen because there's no guest and there's no subject. But there's lots to talk about. I mean, there's always lots to talk about, but these days, particularly because of, you know, all the political stuff and all the economic stuff
right.
and so forth. So why don't we just, hey, do you know what the word adieu means?
No, I don't.
I don't know what adieu means. Because I've always wondered, my, you know, when people would say, so without any further ado.
Right, yeah, I hear them say that.
What in the world is ado? Well, maybe someone will call during the Saturday special and let us know what the word ado means and how to spell it. But in any case, we need to officially start the program, so let's do it.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
All right, welcome to the Saturday special. I promised myself I was going to prepare for it today for the first time ever. Now, not really, but shows generally go a little better if there's some element of prep that goes into it. So I figured I'd at least write an outline of various topics that we could discuss. And I've been too busy because the phones have been ringing here and, you know, all kinds of other things to talk about. So that's my excuse for today.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSVO Radio.
Okay. Now, let's see here. Is it going to be a fanfare or is it going to be a crossfire? We don't know. So let's just call it a fanfare. Okay, here's the fanfare music. Play that when we think something special is going to happen, but or we have a special guest or something. The other one is the crossfire, and when we know that people, and you know what, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, gang, there will be elements of specialness in this program. This is a prediction, I don't know for sure, and there will be elements of crossfire. So let's just play the crossfire also. Do you long for the old Saturday specials where people were in the studio scratching each other's eyes out? Sort of Jerry Springer talk radio? We used to do a lot of that on KSCO, and people got tired of it. You know, after a while, they said, look, you know, this is, you can get your jollies, MZ, but, you know, you're chasing the audience away. And when people tell me that, I get scared and clean up my act here. So, but in any case, this is definitely very appropriate for us to play the crossfire music today. Let me tell you why. I woke up this morning and got some really good sleep for the first time in probably months. You know, I got like 10 hours of sleep, and typically I get, you know, 4 to 5 hours of sleep. Not really enough. And I turned on a television, and it was Neil Cavuto on Business. Fox News Channel has this the Cost of Freedom series of programs that they play on Saturday morning. And you know what? They're really, really lively, fun programs to watch. I don't know how many of you in our KSCO listening audience are aware of that or who have watched those programs, but the word lively really is an appropriate word to describe that show. I mean, there's fast, quick-witted, you know, you can't watch that show and fall asleep. And so, I watched them discuss arguing. They were arguing about the stock market and the stock picks, and about McCain and all this business that's going on among Republicans being just totally bummed out that McCain is clearly going to be the nominee, and that there are some people around spouting that a Democrat over McCain, because McCain's really nothing but a Democrat in war prisoner war hero clothing. And so forth. So anyhow, we can talk about that today. There are a lot of things that we can talk about, but I want to start off the program by sort of continuing a little bit where we left off last week. Now, we got a lot of compliments on last week's Saturday special, where we talked about Ron Paul. Probably record number of thank you, emails and voicemails and so forth. From people who were very, very appreciative that we devoted 2 hours to Ron Paul. My mother, Kay, made a commentary about Ron Paul. And there was a lot that we didn't get said. That wasn't said on the program. And so what I did was there's something amazing about the Internet. I mean, there's a lot of things amazing about the Internet, but one extraordinarily amazing thing about the Internet is YouTube. And I thought that it would be really interesting to start off the program by something that I literally tripped upon this morning when I was looking at email. You know how they call it the World Wide Web because, one thing leads to another, to another, to another, to another? I was just reading an email today or doing a search about something or someone that I saw on the Fox News Channel today because I wanted to find out some information. And somehow I got to this YouTube thing. This is a heavy, heated Ron Paul debate on CNN. And it was It was added to YouTube on May 22nd, 07. So what is that? It's a good 9 months old. But I think this will put a lot into focus. These are really articulate people who Paul Azan had on. And I think it's only, what is it, about 6 minutes and 28 seconds. And we're going to play that to kick off the Saturday special today. And afterwards, we may or may not play another clip that actually has Ron Paul himself. But for right now, let's play this because it's real interesting listening.
The Republican presidential candidate, Congressman Ron Paul, barely shows up in the polls at all. But one thing he said at the last GOP debate is out in the open tonight because it is still making headlines and causing tremendous outrage. He was talking about the 9/11 attacks and what caused them. Just listen to this.
I'm suggesting that we listen to the people who attacked us and the reason they did it. And they are delighted that we're over there because Osama bin Laden has said, I am glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier. They have already now, since that time, have killed 3,400 of our men, and I don't think it was necessary.
That is an extraordinary statement. As someone who lived through the attack of September 11, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11.
That was Rudy Giuliani.
All right, so you can tell where the applause was that night and where the crowd stood on that. But wait, didn't Ron Paul have a point there that the U.S. meddling in the Middle East has caused some resentment against America? Let's turn to CNN contributor Roland Martin. He happens to think so. He wrote a commentary about it for CNN.com. He's back with us along with the rest of our panel, Ben Ferguson and Tom Hartman. Welcome back. All right, Roland, let's talk a little bit about this piece you wrote about 9/11, and you said that there is a point that deserves to be debated here. I want you to set the record straight tonight. Are you saying that the United States is in any way responsible for bringing on the attacks of 9/11?
Well, first of all, it's not a matter of is the U.S. responsible for bringing on the attacks. What he was saying is it impacts foreign policy. What we did not play was the clip when he cited, for instance, the American overthrowing of the Iranian government in 1953 of Mohammad Mossadegh, the prime minister, really over oil to help British petroleum, then Anglo-Iranian oil, and how that was the reason cited in 1979 when they overthrew the U.S. embassy and kidnapped Americans. See, the problem, Paula, is as Americans, we really don't want to look at history. We act as if what took place last week's impact this week,
right.
When in fact,
but fast
other,
rolling,
other
rolling,
countries
rolling,
20, 30 years ago
rolling,
does
rolling,
contribute.
Wait. Answer the question. So you're saying that if you look at the foreign policy of the United States, it contributed to the anger that sparked 9/11.
And that is the reason that, as Paul was saying, cited by the individuals who did it. He is not justifying the attack. He is not saying it's okay. In fact, it is absolutely wrong, and we should have struck back. But what he's saying is you have to understand what the other person
is
thinking to factor into your equation.
All right, Ben.
No, what you want to do is...
Hold on, Rowan.
Let me ask you this question. Are you going to deny tonight that U.S. foreign policy had anything to do with the attacks of 9/11?
Yeah, you know what? Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because these fundamentalists are crazy. They use Mickey Mouse to teach their kids to blow themselves up. Explain the USS Cole bombing. Explain the first World Trade Center bombing. We weren't doing jack squat around the world to irritate or anger them.
Hey,
hold on a second. Roland, you had plenty of time. Give me 1 second, okay? My point is this. These people are crazy. They're willing to blow themselves up. They're not rational. We could leave Iraq, Afghanistan, send them millions of dollars, help train their kids to blow us up, and they'd still kill us because they hate us. They always have, and they always will.
All right. Let me bring Tom into the conversation. You've heard what both of our guests have had to say tonight. Your reaction.
People don't hate in a vacuum. And it's not limited to...
This is Tom Hartman talking.
From the Middle East. I mean, Tim McVeigh thought he was justified. He was, you know, on the anniversary, the second anniversary of Waco. Christian terrorism. I mean, there's a whole variety of these problems. But to look at any of these things, frankly, I'm agreeing with points of both of your guests. To look at this, particularly Roland, to look at this in a vacuum, I think, is a disaster. We do need to learn the lessons of history. And that was what Ron Paul Ron Paul was doing in the Republican debate is something that Dennis Kucinich very often does in the Democratic debates, and that is he was being the truth teller. He was the little boy who was
that's
saying
right.
The emperor wears no clothes. And that's a really important role to play, even though it's a role that nobody else seemed to want to hear.
You guys are smart guys. Ron, please tell me you understand that Ron Paul is a no one who wanted to make a name for himself, so he said something a little bit extreme and crazy
not
to
at
get
all.
Some notoriety.
Ron Paul was speaking the truth. And look at the response across the country to it. It was very positive.
Ron? It was not positive. It was absolutely not positive.
Stop it, Ben. The fundamental problem, Paula, is people like Ben don't like reading. They don't want to accept history.
History does repeat itself in this country. But Ben, listening
to what you just said, you act as if when America does something, like it has no impact
on someone
else.
You're putting words in my mouth.
It absolutely does.
Well, Roland, let me ask you, the other Republican candidates as well, they're all trying to demagogue this issue.
I can't understand
all three of you, and you're talking over each other, Ben. You're going to get the last word tonight, but you can't have it both ways. You can't sit here and deny tonight that foreign policy had nothing to do and just write it off as a bunch of crazos that hate America. Don't you believe the history of the involvement in this country overseas in various places had something to do with this anger that we see? I think they hate
America. America is an easy place to hate because we do have a great life
not
here.
That simple.
I agree. Hold on a second. I agree that this country, there's people around the world that hate us. But look at Lebanon today. Al-Qaeda is going after them, and that's a 180 from what America is. They love to hate people. They teach hate. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to play our foreign policy as trying to be nice all the time, because when we are nice, they still blow us up. And if you look at what they tell their children, they say, blow yourself up for our God.
Why isn't Sweden
that is not
trying to blow
normal
us up?
Or rational.
Okay, gentlemen, I got to leave it there. Tom Hartman, Ben Ferguson, Roland Martin. Interesting discussion. We all have to catch our breath now.
How does anybody who cares about, you know, what's going on in the world, how does anybody even have time to make a living? when there's so much wonderful information available, you know, just at your fingertips. You know, I watched that on my iPhone. In 2 seconds, I sent an email to with a link to myself so that I could watch that any time. Now there's another one that I want to play here. I have to find it here from my email here, or Gmail here. So let's go to the here. Okay, here's the Ron Paul interview. This is Ron Paul interview on CNN himself. Now this thing might it streams. It doesn't download, so it might cut in and out. And if it does that, we'll stop it and let the buffer catch up, and then we'll come back to it later. But let's see if we can get this thing to play right now here.
They squared off in South Carolina.
Also from CNN.
Although he's languishing in the polls, Texas Congressman Ron Paul managed to grab a big share of the attention. He joins us now live from Houston. Congressman Paul, thanks for joining us. Let's show our viewers right away the moment in that debate which captured so much attention and became such a flashpoint. You were speaking, and the former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani jumped in. Let's listen.
They attack us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years.
That's an extraordinary statement of someone who lived through the attack of September 11, that we invited the attack because we were attacking Iraq. I don't think I've ever heard that before, and I've heard some pretty absurd explanations for September 11.
Now, Congressman Paul, the mayor asked you to withdraw that statement, and you did not. I want to walk through that. You firmly believe, sir, that because of U.S. military involvement in the Middle East, including the first Persian Gulf War, that we invited, the word you would use? We invited the 9/11 attacks?
Well, it's not so much like it's a subjective belief. It's just an evaluation of the facts. If you study the people who understand the Middle East, like Michael Schur and others, and look at the 9/11 Commission report, that's the evidence they provide that was one of the excuses. One of the strongest statements for the position I hold comes from no other than Paul Wolfowitz, who said right after we invaded Iraq that this was a major, major event because we could take our troops out of Saudi Arabia, recognizing that was the motivation for recruiting for Al-Qaeda and their motivation for their hatred toward us. So there's a lot of evidence. I don't think we should deal with the subjective. I think we should deal with the objective position of whether or not those who really understand the Middle East support what I had said.
Well, let me ask you more broadly about your views on foreign policy then. Obviously, you believe the United States should have a limited role in the world, especially in terms of projecting military force. So if Kim Jong-il rolled south into South Korea today, should the United States intervene?
Well, it depends on what the Congress says. We certainly shouldn't do what we did in under the Truman administration, under a UN resolution. You go to the Congress and find out if it's a threat to our national security. I personally would think right now that it isn't a threat to our national security. I want to make a point, though, that if we weren't over there, I think Korea would be unified, just like South Vietnam or Vietnam is unified. They have railroads now open up between the two. They want to share information.
I don't want to solve the problems of the Korean Peninsula today. I do want to get your views on foreign policy. Let me give you another example. If China took back Taiwan today, you say go to the Congress, or does the president not have the authority as commander-in-chief?
Absolutely, he does not have the authority. Where does he get it? You can't go to war without congressional approval, and that's not a threat to our national security. That's something internal affairs. Why should we send hundreds of thousands of Americans to die in a civil war? I mean, are we over in Russia right now over Chechnya? I mean, it wouldn't make any sense. Did we go to war over Hong Kong? You know, we should follow the Constitution and the advice of the founders. Don't go looking for dragons to slay. I mean, why should we go and provoke and look for trouble? We should talk to people, negotiate, be diplomatic, and trade with people. We do much better trading with Vietnam than we did with fighting with them, and we lost 60,000 men there. It makes so much common sense, and it's so appealing to the majority of Americans. Let me tell you, I really believe that.
You have received some criticism. Some say you're the person who doesn't belong at a Republican debate. You were a past Libertarian candidate for president, of course. You have views that are out of what many would think of the mainstream, at least of today's Republican Party. I want to read you some of the criticism that came out after this last debate and ask you to respond to the politics of it. These are some comments made of your performance. Here's Roger Simon writing in the Politico. In terms of the presidency, nobody cares what Ron Paul says, perhaps not even Ron Paul. Gloria Borger writing in U.S. News and World Report. Representative Ron Paul of Texas, who gives new meaning to the
question asked by Ross Perot's former running mate, Admiral James Stockdale, who am I? Why am I here? And in the Daily News of New York, an editorial, Ron Paul, whose performance Tuesday proved him the Sanjaya of the political arena. What do you make of the critics who say, why is this guy in a Republican debate? If he wants to run, run as the Libertarian.
Well, I would ask you why you pick out three when I could find you probably 1,000 that contradict exactly what you say. I would say that I'm more Republican than they are. The Republican tradition is always to win on the peace position. Democrats have always won or got us into war. We got out of Korea with Eisenhower. We got out of Vietnam with Nixon. We ran on a peace program in the year 2000. No world police. No nation building, a humble foreign policy. Peace is a positive message, not a negative message. You don't win by, politically, you don't win. There's a strong tradition of non-intervention in the Republican Party. That is the American position. That is the constitutional position. That is the very strong advice for the founders. So when they attack me and say, silence Ron Paul, they're saying, silence the Constitution, silence the advisors, the founders of the country, silence our platform, close down the big tent, make it very narrow, and as long as you agree with a foreign policy that is failing, then it's okay to be a Republican. I don't buy into that, and neither do the American people.
Let me jump into what comes next. You're about 1% in the polls, and many say whether they agree or disagree with your views. There are many who say at some point you need to have fewer candidates on the stage for these debates to be meaningful. The chairman of the Michigan Republican Party says he's going to try to get you, and perhaps others, but you specifically, pushed out of future debates. He said of you, I think he would have felt much more comfortable on the stage with the Democrats in what he said last night. And I think he is a distraction in the Republican primary, does not represent the base of the party, does not represent the party. That's Saul Anozis, the chairman of the Republican Party in the state of Michigan, who says, among other things, he thinks you don't deserve a spot on the stage. Will you continue to be in the Republican debates? And at some point, forget your name for a second, forget your candidacy, at some point, should they be winnowed down to fewer candidates?
Well, why do you pick that statement that has been discredited and removed? The chairman of the Michigan Party now has withdrawn that. He has given up on that. Why don't you let the people decide? Why do you want to eliminate democracy? Why stomp out the grassroots candidate and only reward those with $100 million that get money from the special interest? That's not very, very democratic. I support the Republican platform better than any other candidate I am convinced of. Take out the platform. They're for less government. They're for personal liberty. We ran on our program in 2000 for a humble foreign policy. How can anybody say I'm not Republican? I'm the most conservative member of the Congress. I vote for the least amount of spending and the least amount of taxes. And they say I'm not Republican enough? I mean, why don't you challenge that side rather than challenging me and feed into the frenzy that say, get rid of the reporter, get rid of the person delivering the information rather than dealing with the information. Non-intervention is a real political victory. We cannot win as Republicans next year if we just continue to dig our heels in, send more men and women over there to die on a policy that has failed. That is the issue. Republicans are scared to death to face up to the truth. And my job is to make them face up to it and show them that the majority of Americans are with me, not with the current foreign policy that we're following.
Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, Republican candidate for president, low in the polls, but certainly shaking and stirring things up in the Republican race. Congressman, thanks for joining us today on Late Edition. And up next, we'll hash out.
Okay, wasn't that great? Wasn't that just great? Anybody who wants a copy of that, just email me, mz@ksco.com. I'll shoot you back the link, and you can click on it, it'll just start playing. What an amazing technological world we live in. So that's from YouTube, and originally, of course, from CNN, and people are taking, copyrighted stuff and putting it up on YouTube, but, you know, that's something that qualifies as news, and I don't think anybody could, you know, be down on us for rebroadcasting that, especially when anybody can pick up on it just by going to YouTube. There are some really interesting things on the little blog commentary part of YouTube. I'll just read a few of them from 4 days ago. By the way, what you heard was uploaded to YouTube in May, around May 20th of last year. And it's only now that I'm, you know, picking up on this kind of stuff. And I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of last Saturday special, I think I announced at the end that I'm probably going to vote for Ron Paul. I'm taking the probably out. This guy is something special, and the media is clearly, and the corporate America is clearly down on on getting any kind of Ron Paul message out to the public. And that's why it's so delightful to have this phenomenon called the internet. Now, as I said last week, maybe the internet hasn't evolved to the point yet in terms of popularity needed to overcome a conscious effort by the media to quash a guy like Ron Paul. Maybe it hasn't. I hope it has, but I'm willing to bet that if the world is still around, you know, 4 years from now, we will definitely be at that point where no matter what the CNNs and the Fox Newses and the ABCs and CBS and so forth try to manipulate the results, the internet is going to be the great equalizer then, and I hope it is now. But let me read some of these comments here right from the from the YouTube thing regarding what you just heard. Who is this? This was written by Jeff96, whoever that is and wherever he is, 4 days ago. Who is this douchebag anchor? Ron Paul puts the other Republicans to shame. Philip Zimmerman, 3 days ago. Awesome. I didn't know I'm a software mogul. Marcus Phoenix. That New York mayor makes me sick. All the time, 9/11. That parasite lives on the 9/11 victims. He is so stupid he has no clue. Ron Paul is leaps and bounds above the mayor. Why was the mayor even running? Someone named Freedoc says, listening to the range of questions for Ron Paul, it does seem to support the theory that the media and big shots in the government are making a conscious effort to keep him quiet. And someone named Commentary just 9 hours ago said, yeah, that reporter was a dick. Ha ha, Ron Paul did own up though. I guess that means he mopped the floor with a guy. I guess that's what that means. In any case, I wanted to share that with our audience here during the Saturday special and do my part to just put it out there. This isn't any kind of propaganda. This is public media that was captured and just replayed now. And the more I learn about this Ron Paul guy, the more sickened I am that that all of the other candidates are garbage. They're just plain garbage compared to him on both sides, really. Anyhow, what do you think, gang? 479-1080 is the phone number to call. If I can get the cursor on the computer to go to the right place, I'll be able to see if we have any phone calls. Oh, my God, we got lots of phone calls. Lots and lots of phone calls. So let's take a phone call, first phone call from Forrest. Is this the Forrest? There aren't many Forrests out there. Is this the Forrest who was on with us last week? Hey, how you doing, Forrest? What's up?
Giuliani, or as I call him, Giuliani. To use your word, he is a dick. He's a stupid jerk, and he took every opportunity to twist Ron Paul's words during the debate and try to make him out to be a crazy man or have, you know, no clue about what's going on in the world. He's the one that has no clue.
Yeah. Forrest, let me interrupt. I know you're on a roll here, but I got to say, when he said it, I was saying, yeah, Rudy Giuliani, because I always liked Rudy Giuliani right up until that point, and even a little bit after that point. And then when I realized...
Well, did you think about what Ron Paul said versus what Giuliani says he said?
Well, yes, exactly, and that's why I'm saying when that happened, Giuliani lost a lot of points with MZ. Because he was trying to physically, publicly humiliate and ridicule Ron Paul and accuse him of saying something that he didn't say. He very skillfully got people to think that Ron Paul said that. Even people like my mother, who until just last week believed that Ron Paul said 9/11 was an inside job, you know.
Yeah, and people. That's another way that I think that that people have tried to discredit him too. Is they spread these rumors that he thought 9/11 was an inside job, you know. And the other thing that Giuliani did was when Ron Paul was talking about Israel and how we shouldn't be marginalizing Israel and treating them as a stepchild of the United States, that we should recognize them as the true superpower that they are. well, maybe not superpower, but power, you know, and their role in the Middle East and as a viable nation. And what does Giuliani do? He says, well, you know, Ron, I don't think of Israel as a stepchild. I think that they are, that they're a great nation, and I don't think it's fair for you to try to marginalize them. So he totally twisted his words. Ron Paul was saying the exact opposite of what Giuliani echoed back, you know, and it's just, this is why the guy lost. I think because, and why he dropped out early is because people realize this guy's a stupid jerk, and they don't want him as president. And I think he really screwed himself over with those kinds of comments. And among other things.
Well, I still think there are plenty of people out there, Forrest, who are easily manipulated by guys like Giuliani.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, but that's changing. Hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Sure. Our next caller will be Christine Kraft herself.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Christine. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I know you've been very well. You're a talk host on KGO more and more and more and more these days.
Well,
and,
the more the better, you know, because I like to talk.
Boy, yeah. And so they were, not only do you like to talk, but people like to talk about you behind your back.
I know.
I was listening to Rothman the other night when I was out of range of KSCO.
Of course, only then.
Yeah, and he was telling everybody how much of a Hillary supporter you have become, and that you are very
become.
Very articulate about why. Well, I'm happy you called, and tell us why you are such
a
Hillary.
Do you want me to tell you why?
Sure, please.
Well, actually, I was an Edwards supporter big time, and did some did whatever I could to get Edwards in the game. But much like Ron Paul and the Republicans, the Democratic power elites didn't want John Edwards to win, and the mainstream media didn't give him the coverage he deserved. So, in any event, he's suspended or out of the race at this point. So, my dilemma was. I'm a lifelong Democrat who is now a decline to state, which, you know, I like to keep them guessing, getting cranky as I get older.
Uh-huh.
But the choice was obviously between the Messiah, the big dreamer, Mr. Obama, or Hillary Clinton. And I have to say, in the last few weeks, Hillary Clinton has won me over in a big way, and I think history will record whether or not American women choose to seize the moment. It's not the most important issue. Clearly, war, et cetera. But people say, oh, but Obama, it's like he's some kind of messiah. Be very careful when people get this messianic thing going for a candidate. I think it's all about him. I think he's very egocentric. I think he'd make a good vice president, perhaps, for 8 years and see how he does and gets a little seasoning.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that.
And here's the thing. People say, oh, you notice that... We had a primary here in California on Tuesday, and I didn't hear anywhere, if the results had been reversed, if Barack Obama had beaten Hillary Clinton, as he was predicted to beat her by 13 percentage points, according to the pollsters the day before the primary, you would have heard all these pundits say, well, it's all over for Clinton. Do you realize that the race in California wasn't even close? Hillary Clinton creamed Barack Obama by 10 percentage points. I would tell anyone who's not sure of that to go to the Secretary of State's website, www.sos.ca.gov, and look county by county, including Santa Cruz, look at all the different counties and how they voted. She beat him by 10 percentage points. So she's immensely resilient. People say, oh, well, if Hillary Clinton is the nominee, then those right-wingers or the Republicans are going to attack her. And excuse me, she is no wilting flower. She's been the object of derision from the right for, what, a decade at least?
Sure.
Has been staunch and a survivor of all of that. She's got...
So these are some of the reasons why you support her, because she's, you know, she's risen to the occasion, and right? Is that...
Well, and here's some more.
But what would make her a good president, do you think?
Well, I think if anyone who thinks that the Clinton duo, that Hillary Clinton was not a key advisor to Bill Clinton in the first two terms, would be naive. They're a pair.
No, I think you're right. I don't think anybody would disagree with you on that, actually.
Yes.
So that gets to the whole experience thing, right?
That certainly cuts to part of the experience thing. I would also point out that Mr. Obama is in the beginning of his first term in the United States Senate. Senator Clinton is in her second six-year term in the United States Senate, reelected by a huge margin by the people of New York, including a lot of moderate Republicans.
Christine, nobody's going to argue with you that Hillary has more experience than probably, certainly than Obama, and probably more than anybody else.
How about this part?
In the Democrat. But what about maybe the premise is wrong? Maybe experience is bad. You know, I don't know how long you were on hold here. So I don't know how much of the program that you've heard. And I don't know if you're within range of KSCO. You're probably not.
I'm not.
Yeah. This whole thing, we haven't talked about it this time, but the whole thing about experience, I mean, the last thing in the world I want is experienced politicians, because they've all sucked in recent years, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay,
they've gotten...
That's too blanket of a statement. If you had the perfect conservative running as a Republican that you wanted, who had experience, that argument would quickly fade. Let me just tell you this. I mean, Barack Obama, I hear his messianic following say, oh, Barack, he's promising us hope and vision and hope. And as Maxine Waters says, hell, we don't need hope. We need help. Barack Obama supposedly, and he claims, I was against the war, right? Well, first of all, he didn't vote because he wasn't in Congress then. So he wasn't put to the test. If you look at Barack Obama's, not his rhetoric, but his actual record, you will see that he has voted for every single appropriation.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that I think you're right? He has been saying, and I did not vote for the war.
Right.
But he didn't. But these are half-baked comments.
Yes.
But he couldn't have voted for the war because he wasn't in a position
to
vote for the war.
Right.
What a slime ball!
Every single Democrat and every single Republican, Edwards, Clinton, all the have all voted for every single, you know, voted for the authorization to begin with. John Edwards said it was a mistake. Hillary Clinton hasn't said that. But the point is, if you're a Democrat running for the presidency in the year 2008, you better have a record of being, quote, tough on defense, or the country's going to reject you as too weak.
Christine.
Mr. Obama wasn't held to the test.
I think it's great. I think it's thank you for calling. In fact, I asked you to call. So thank you. You know, but thank you very much for calling. And I'm not... I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a few questions here. Are you a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat? I mean, no matter what, you're going to support the Democratic candidate. What do you think of Ron Paul? How much of the earlier show before you were on?
I get your point. I think that the media has screwed him over because they've decided who the candidates are going to be and what's advantageous for the media business. Ron Paul doesn't fit into that equation. Doesn't have the party elites on the Republican side backing him, and he doesn't have a prayer in hell. But I think your point is great. I think the Internet will be much more able to perhaps take someone like a Ron Paul, if not Ron Paul himself, and give them a fairer shake in the future. I mean, we've seen that it does have immense power right now, and the popularity is terrific. But when the Internet supplants the party elites making choices and the mainstream media making choices, is it some point in the future? It's not yet. It's the beginnings of that.
Very interesting, huh? Okay, so could you see yourself voting for Ron Paul?
On some issues, yes. I think.
Suppose, would you vote for Ron Paul now if Hillary wasn't a factor and John Edwards wasn't a factor before? I mean, it just seems to me that everything the guy says is right on, and so many people out there say that I agree with you, but let's be realistic. He doesn't have a chance in hell, so I don't want to waste my vote.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I think my problem with him would have to do with mandated programs like Social Security. So I would be a little reluctant as someone who's not getting it yet, but, you know, and not the too distant future will be. That'll be a big issue for me, and I wouldn't feel comfortable with Ron Paul's take on that. I think his take on what's going on in the Middle East is fascinating and certainly appeals to a progressive point of view because of the reliance on constitutionality. Do we invade sovereign nations based on lies and occupy them? Is that the best way to defend freedom in this country? I mean, I think those are good arguments and intriguing, and I think it's quirky and fun that much of the polling that's been done on the Internet by mainstream media organizations after debates has put him at the top of the list, and it really makes him mad, and that I like.
Sure. So. Okay. Hey, well, appreciate your call. Wish you could listen to more, because I'm sure there's going to be some follow-up to what you said. But
and, Michael, guess what? One more thing. I just looked at my Mega Millions lotto ticket, and darn it, I didn't win, so I can't make you the offer you can't refuse yet.
Oh, well, we're still working on it, okay? Still work on it, okay?
All right. Bet. Thanks,
Michael. Christine. You have a good one.
Bye.
Christine Kraft, a very articulate lady, has a very colorful and long history in media. And if you Google Christine Kraft, a lot is going to come up on the search. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. It's 10:45. It's an open mic program. There were a whole bunch of people on the line. Now there's hardly anybody on the line except Billy Sunshine. So if you want the people who are on call, listen. I really want people who were waiting, you know, to call back, because I understand there were some compliments in there for me or KSCO or something like that. And you know, what's been keeping us going lately is compliment power, you know. So give us a call at 479-1080. Hey, Dave, we got some commercials to play, don't we? I hope. Are you there, Dave? Dave is probably answering the phones here. So we'll take Billy now. Billy, you're on the air with KSCOMZ. Hey.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. I want to bring it back to where you started the show today and talk about the media for a second.
Okay.
You were talking about Fox's business block.
Yeah.
Which you just discovered recently.
Actually, I knew about it, and I rediscovered. I've known about it for a couple of years or now at least.
But, I watch it every week.
Isn't it great?
It's a lot of fun, but here's something that's interesting about Fox. We started talking about Fox last week in reference to Ron Paul.
Yeah, and you wanted us to get rid of Fox News Channel because I said that Fox News at the top of the hour on KSCO.
Because we know they don't tell the truth.
Because I was frustrated that they excluded Ron Paul from one of their debates.
Well, they didn't just exclude Ron Paul from one of their debates. They also exclude reporting on Ron Paul when he, you know, in terms of what percentages he was getting, things like that. There's a lot of insults to Ron Paul from Fox. Anyway, back to the business block. I've been watching from the beginning. And in the beginning, it was a straight business show. Actually, four shows altogether. They have four half-hour shows. And it was straight business when it began. But after a while, it became, if Hillary is elected, will it destroy the stock market? Will the Dow go down if the Democrats get control?
Yeah,
Billy, will the Democrats destroy the entire economy?
Billy, calm down. They always have someone to counter that.
Still the theme. So they took what was a business show, and they turned it into more hack Robert Ailes crapola.
Uh-huh.
And I just, again, would suggest to you, would ask you, why do you push Fox on us when we know they lie so much?
I don't believe that they lie. I'm very frustrated that they haven't given more time, more coverage to Ron Paul. Now you might know or believe that they're wrong in other ways, Bill. But
so far, that's a good example.
Okay, well, and I said it, but I'm not going to throw. I hate this expression. Why am I going to?
The baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it.
It is an awful expression.
Yeah, it's a terrible expression, but I think they're pure class, and I got to say,
you think that Fox is pure class?
I think they are. Yeah,
okay.
I do.
Okay.
I think that, and that's why it was so disappointing to me to see how unfairly they treated Ron Paul. You see, it was so out of character.
And did you see how much time they devote to pictures of sexy girls while talking about being family oriented? They didn't stop running stuff about that poor woman who died, Nana Nicole Smith. They always have Paris Hilton on washing that car.
Well,
they run it all the time.
They're in business too, Bill.
And we've established they lie and they're sleazy. What is it you like about it?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that they lie.
Well, and
you said that they no. I don't think it's good that they have been muzzling him. That's all I've said. That's the only negative.
Someone, they aren't serving the public, not at all.
Okay.
Ask yourself. Okay. Do you think that Fox has served the public with the way they treated Ron Paul, or for that matter, any other piece of news?
May I ask you a personal question?
You bet, bud.
Is there anything your wife has ever said or done that you disagreed with?
Is there
ever in your marriage?
Barb? There is?
Yes.
Barbara says there has been.
Okay. Why don't you divorce her? Why don't you get rid of your wife?
Because of one thing.
You see what I'm saying?
If my wife gets something wrong, it's an honest mistake. It's not part of a program to misinform everyone around her that ever listens to her. Are you kidding me? You want to use that as an analogy? Good luck.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, see you. Bye-bye. There goes Billy himself. Here's Roger in Santa Cruz. Hey, Roger. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, MZ.
How are you, Roger?
I'm doing fantastic. Yourself?
Good.
beautiful day here in the Bay Area.
Isn't it,
Monterey
though?
Bay.
Isn't it, though?
Fantastic. First of all, I'd like to thank you. It's a great show. I'd like to thank you for your stand on Ron Paul. This is my first year voting.
He is so far and
far and above.
So many, so many of these. What's a word? I mean, I don't think there's a word in my limited vocabulary to describe all these same old.
Well, I watched that debate from the Reagan Library, and it was really incredible to me how the other candidates, whenever Ron Paul would talk, they'd get this just like smug look on their face, just like, you're a joke. You're a joke. You know, when they're a joke, you know. What really thrills me about Ron Paul, at this point, it's pretty much in the bag that he's not going to get the nomination, whatever, but I still voted for him.
Yeah, but he
primary.
Could still win. And here's something. I don't mean to interrupt you. You're on a roll here, but please, before I forget, because I have such a limited... I have such a limited attention span. I said that I was going to read somebody's email last week, and then I didn't. And the person got all upset and sent me another email saying, you have an agenda, you know, you want to censor me. And the guy's a friend. He's saying that to me, you know. So, anyhow, what I want to do is I want to put it out to the audience now. Maybe there's somebody out there who understands write-in or national is there such a thing as I know there's such a thing as a write-in, but how can is it going to take that kind of a phenomenon, and has there ever been an instance in a national election where there was a write-in anything that succeeded? Because you're right, he ain't going to be anybody's nominee.
No,
but he should be president.
He should be president,
and a lot of people think he should be president.
No matter
why can't he get
random.
To? And I think there's got to be a way for him to get to be president, even though the Republicans and the Democrats won't put him on their ticket.
Well,
even though the people want it, if the dopey people would take the time to listen to the guy, and unfortunately the way they need to do that now is to use the internet, and not everybody uses the internet. Most people get it spoon fed to them by the three or four by the major media.
Yep. Well, what thrilled me was the fact that every time he was asked a question, usually the lead-in was, well, you know, the Constitution says, or our founding fathers wrote in the Constitution, you know, the guidelines in the Constitution say, and that's what really thrilled me about the whole thing, was just everything went back to the Constitution. You know, it seems like these guys just want to break the Constitution down to fit their needs and not use the Constitution to fit our needs as it is. Does that make sense?
It certainly does.
You know, and the smug look that McCain and Romney gave him every time he would come to these to saying anything about the Constitution was just it made me sick. Well, it really made me sick to my stomach.
They are smug.
To think about that these guys are going to be the way it looks, we probably get McCain and Romney on the ticket together now, and it's disgusting. It scares me.
Yeah.
Romney scared me as a candidate anyways. It thrilled me when he finally dropped out because
okay,
he's a scary
yeah.
individual.
Yeah, well, we won't have Romney to kick around anymore. Hey, Santa Cruz Roger, good to talk to you. Thanks for calling.
Really quick, I won tickets to the game last night.
Yeah?
Spectacular. Thank you very much. That was my first Sharks game, and that was great.
Hey, how long have you been listening to us?
Since the early days, 95, 96.
See, I mean, we've got such a loyal audience, but there's a lot of people who have never heard of us. I hate to say it. I mean, a scary number of people. No,
a
surprising number of people. So do me a favor, everybody who's listening to us, who likes us now, tell a friend or two or three, you know, and let's swell up our audience so that we can get this kind of message of truth out. And my message of truth is just letting everybody talk.
One other real quick thing. This was the first time I voted. This year was the first time I voted. Mistakes in my past had taken that right away from me, whatever. This was, and before that, it didn't matter, you know. But this was, and KSEO is very pertinent in the ways I formed my opinions on how I voted. Right. Didn't tell me what to do, but it really helped me form my opinion.
I guess
and I thank you for that.
Thank you. I keep wishing that someone will step up to the plate and buy the place who thinks like I do. And so far, that person hasn't shown up.
If I had it, I would.
That's what everybody says. That's what everybody says. But
I'm having a hard enough time making my rent.
I understand.
Have a great day, Michael. Thank you.
You too. That's our. That was Scott and that was. Oh God, my brain. There's just so much. That was Roger in Santa Cruz. Scott in Scotts Valley is coming up, but not. Wait a minute. Not before our commercials, Dave. You're probably screening phone calls, so you can't really hear me.
Okay.
We got some commercials to play
now?
We do have
some commercials, yes.
Oh, God, let's play some commercials so we can at least be here next week.
You got it.
Okay, thanks.
Life's pretty good, business is great, and people are wonderful. There's so much more to life than the subprime loan mess. We live in a place many others can only visit. Randy Turnquist understands that. There are buyers who are buying and sellers who are selling. If you need help buying or selling a home, or just have questions about your situation, give Randy a call at 831-566-2590 or toll free 888-496-9655 or visit KSCO.com and search for Realtor.
All right, everybody, listen up. VitaminGoddess.com. That's right. VitaminGoddess.com or VitaminGod.com. What are you laughing at? Come on. You've heard me for years proclaim the advantages of getting all your essential supplements and vitamin and minerals. But of course, where else? VitaminGoddess.com. You can remember that. VitaminGoddess.com. VitaminGoddess.com. Come on. Or VitaminGod.com. Why? Because it seems like everybody and their monkey's uncle is on the internet. So why not you? And if you are, check it out. Go see a beautiful website and a beautiful way to get all your supplements. VitaminGoddess.com or VitaminGod.com. And remember, may you live long and prosper.
Wendy's, located at 5620 Scotts Valley Drive, is not just another fast food restaurant. Family owned and operated for 14 years, Wendy's in Scotts Valley offers the finest food fast. Do you know or have you heard that when you order a combo meal at Wendy's, you can have your choice of a Caesar side salad, a piping hot baked potato, fresh side salad, steaming hot chili, yogurt with granola, or crisp hot fries? Are you hungry yet? Visit the Scotts Valley Wendy's, located at 5620 Scotts Valley Drive, and don't forget their drive-thru. Do what tastes right. Do Wendy's in Scotts Valley.
And you're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, a Saturday special with your host MZ.
That's all the commercials there were?
That's all the commercials
That's
there
not
were.
Enough to keep us going.
Well, they're paying an extra lot. We'll charge them double.
No, let's just get some more. God, we're the best thing going. Listen, everybody, don't be salespeople for us. Be affiliate marketers for KSCO. If you like us and you want us to stay around, tell everybody you know that not only is it a great station to listen to, and it's a fair and reasonable and wonderful real radio station, it's a station that will play your message and build your business for you in ways that you cannot imagine, very effectively and very inexpensively. Do some affiliate marketing for us. You don't need to be on the internet. I mean, if you want to do some, you know, email blast saying what a great station KSCO is, you know, and email our website link or something, great. But you don't even have to do that. Just tell everybody you know, particularly people, businesses that you frequent. Hey, have you ever thought of do you want to grow your business? And every business owner is going to say yes to that. There's a station called KSCO. Oh, I've heard of KSCO. Well, you should advertise on KSCO. Really? Oh, yeah. There, go check them out. Call them up. Call KSCO sales at 475-1080. You might run into some business owners who haven't heard of KSCO. So tell them about KSCO. And then say, and you, at the very least, you'll get hooked and it'll become your favorite radio station. I haven't talked to anybody who hasn't said to me, once I started listening to you guys, you did not become my favorite radio station. Now, maybe there are some people out there, I just haven't heard them or whatever. Now, Paul in Watsonville, Scott in Scotts Valley, serial faxer on a dying cell phone. Well, since it's dying here, serial, we'll put you on. There's only 30 seconds for the news. Will you call back from something that isn't dying after the top of the break?
I don't think I've got the battery power. Could I just?
All right, go ahead. Go ahead. What do you?
Let me just read you my facts that I wanted to stand. Except for Brennan hasn't fixed my door yet this morning, so I can't get in the.
All right, we're gonna have to eat into Fox News a little bit, but that won't bug Billy Sunshine one bit. So.
Billy Sunshine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, MZ. I'm gonna read you my facts. MZ, have you ever researched your term, Mickey Mouse? Do you know that he was always the only honest, nice cartoon person? He never pushed anyone off a cliff, blew up anyone with TNT, or any of the actions the other cartoon characters used. He always supported Minnie, his wife, never cheated on her, and has remained financially secure. He has not been involved in any scandals and acts with dignity and aplomb. Why not vote for Mickey Mouse, as he has more chance of election than Ron Paul? If you vote for
Ron
Paul...
What a terrible thing to say.
If you vote for Ron Paul, you will be banned from listening to your own station due to the ignorance rule. The reason why I say that is, what is your sacrificial vote going to do? This guy's getting like 3,000 votes from all states.
Now, listen, Cereal, you've given us some more food for thought.
Okay.
We'll never know. We'll never know whether this was better content for the listeners' ears than the first minute and a half of Fox News.
God bless you.
We'll never. You too. Okay. Yeah. Now listen, Scott in Scotts Valley, Paul in Watsonville, and Band Mike. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Just wait a few minutes. You're going to have to wait quite a few minutes because right after the end of the Fox News, which is almost over. No, we have enough. We have enough. Right after the end of Fox News, we're going to hear a world premiere K's commentary. I think it's a world premiere. Maybe it's been played a little bit, but we're certainly going to play it, and it's a good old good one. So it's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11:01 and 45:46 seconds. Here's Fox News in progress.
John Oxendine, four bodies removed from the debris, dozens more hurt. And you're listening to Fox News Radio, Fair and Balanced.
Here's another encore presentation from Fox Business Network.
Everybody wants to know what to do with their portfolio when it's rough like this. Well, we've got some answers from our very own Tracy Burns about, when you want to do something when the market's rough, what do? Where do you start?
And you should. The first thing you should do is look at your portfolio, but look at all of it in aggregate. I mean, it's not just the stocks you hold in your, Schwab account. It's your 401k, it's your IRA, it's everything. Look at it and make sure your portfolio allocation is still where you want it to be. I mean, clearly, if you had energy holdings, they've taken off. So the energy portion of your portfolio might be on a ride right now. Things that are down, you got to balance things out. It's definitely time to clean house
a little
bit.
The question is, and you talk to advisors about this, is how many times a year, for example, should the average person be kind of taking a look?
I mean, at least quarterly these days, especially because of all the volatility. The big picture, though, is if you're invested in quality companies, you shouldn't have to worry at all.
Be listening for more encore presentations from Fox News Talk.
At least 25 dead in a suicide bombing in northwest Pakistan. It happened at a political gathering. There was concern about terrorism. Turns out two tanker trucks stolen from Virginia were probably taken for the fuel. Both found in Maryland, empty. How about my judicial nominees? In his weekly radio address, President Bush wondering if congressional leaders forgot to schedule votes.
More than 180 of my nominees are waiting for confirmation. Some have been waiting for more than a year. As a result, careers have been put on hold, families have been placed in limbo, and our government has been deprived of the service of these fine nominees.
New York Congressman Charlie Rangel delivering the Democrats' radio response, talking about the economic stimulus package that passed this week, blaming the president for the country's problems.
Know what happened in 1929? We don't want to go back there, but there's something wrong with the picture if we find so many people going to poverty. Poverty is deadly, it's expensive, it's a threat to our nation, and it has been ignored for too long.
His life too short, a final farewell for actor Heath Ledger.
Private funeral Saturday for actor Heath Ledger, attended by less than a dozen family members in his hometown of Perth, Australia. Earlier, around 100 people gathered at a memorial service for the Brokeback Mountain star, including actress Cate Blanchett and Ledger's ex-fiancée and mother of his toddler daughter, actress Michelle Williams. The 28-year-old actor died in his New York City apartment last month of an accidental prescription drug overdose. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
A pre-Grammy concert sponsored covered by People magazine, ending unceremoniously early this morning when rapper-producer Timbaland cursed out the magazine for failing to let one of his, quote, homeboys into the party. After the foul language, he did note he is a people person. The Grammys handed out tomorrow night in Hollywood. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, February 9th, 2008. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast, and today's forecast calls for sunny conditions with highs near 67 degrees. Winds should be north-northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, you can expect partly cloudy conditions with lows near 45 degrees. Winds light and variable. And tomorrow's forecast calls for considerable clouds early in the day, decreasing by later in the day. Highs should be around 65 degrees, and tomorrow night looks like it's going to be mostly clear with lows around 42 degrees. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 knots, becoming northwest in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 foot or less, along with a northwest swell 5 to 10 feet at 18 seconds. Here at KSCO Studios, it's 11:06. It's time for hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Yeah, I am here, and thanks for all of the people listening here. People on hold, staying there. I'm not sure how many did. I'm not looking at that screen now. What I'm trying to do is bring up the jingle that's supposed to play now, you know, and so just waiting for the computer to do its thing. It's very, very slow. Oh, there it is.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Okay, I've been getting a lot of hot water lately by teasing people and saying we're going to be doing something and then not doing it, or, you know, not doing it right away or something, so.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ, and let's see. I asked for what the word adieu means. I don't even know how to spell it, but Carol sent us a email, for which we thank Carol, and adieu is spelled A-D-O. And this is from the Oxford English Dictionary, and the definition is doing, comma, action, comma, business, comma, fuss. Without further ado equals without further work or ceremony. Thank you very much, Carol. All right, switch screens here, and let's find out. Okay, we do. Oh, we have Paul in Watsonville. We have Scott in Scotts Valley. Do you think Scotts Valley is named after this Scott? No, probably not. Yeah, that Scott's probably long gone. And we have Van Mike. I've been waiting a long time. Now, lest I get in hot water with the last person I want to be in hot water with, my mama, we better play her commentary, her latest, greatest commentary. So is that all cued, Dave? Have you got that all ready to go? Because I don't have it.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
Okay, so let's take it away.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Some time ago, Maya Angelou was interviewed by Oprah on her 70th-plus birthday. Oprah asked her what she thought of growing older, and there on television she said it was exciting. Regarding body changes, she said there were many occurring every day, like her breasts. They seem to be in a race to see which will reach her waist first. The audience laughed so hard they cried. She's such a simple and honest woman with so much wisdom in her words. Maya Angelou said this, "I've learned that no matter what happens or how bad it seems today, life does go on and it will be better tomorrow. I've learned that you can tell a lot about a person by the way he or she handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you'll miss them when they're gone from your life. I've also learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. I recently received a second chance, and I wish to take this opportunity to thank all my listeners who prayed for my recovery. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Back to Maya. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw some things back. I've learned that whenever I decide something with an open heart, I usually make the right decision. I've learned that even when I have pains, I don't have to be one. I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love a warm hug or just a friendly pat on the back. I've learned that I still have a lot to learn. I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And now it's time for a little levity. What do retired people do in their spare time? Well, the other day, I went downtown and into a shop. I was there for only about 5 minutes, and when I came out, there was a cop writing out a parking ticket. I said to him, "Come on, man, how about giving a retired person a break?" He ignored me and continued writing the ticket. I called him a Nazi. He glared at me and wrote another ticket for having worn tires. So I called him a donut-eating Gestapo. He finished the second ticket and went on, put it on the windshield with the first. Then he wrote a third ticket. This went on for about 30 minutes. The more I abused him, the more tickets he wrote. Personally, I didn't care. I came downtown on the bus, and the car that he was putting the tickets on had a bumper sticker that said, "Hillary in 08. I try to have a little fun each day now that I'm retired. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay, I know it wasn't a world premiere now that I'm thinking about it. This is not the first time that it's played, because I've already gotten, some emails or voicemails or a combination of both about that. So evidently that started playing, before today. But one person thinks that Kay was the person who was on the bus and that she was reading a joke. But I think it's a wonderful thing here that, so much of what mom does is her own, and so much and some of what she does is pass along stuff that is just so priceless that she really wants to share it with people, and I think that's great. Now, I want to say something that I've been thinking for a long, long time. You've heard me talking about the people on Fox News, the lively people. O'Reilly has his cadre of, people that he likes to have on all the time, Dick Morris and Ann Coulter and all. I think my mom Kay should be one of the Fox News people, that are regularly featured, because she could bring so much content to that, and by the same token, a lot of her fun and wisdom could be shared to a much bigger audience. Is there anybody out there in KSCO land who agrees with me? If so, call me and let me know during the program today, or send me an email, mz@KSCO, or better yet, send a bunch of emails to Roger Ailes at Fox News saying there's this wonderful now I don't mean to sound manipulative now, but I honestly feel this, and I'll do this myself, except they're going to say, "Hey, it's his mother. I mean, you can't, we're going to discount what this guy says." But if thousands of people who know Kay were to call, and I haven't even discussed this with her, if she might even say no. She might even absolutely refuse. But she should be one of the people who's on O'Reilly, who's on Hannity and Combs. Alan Combs does know Kay, doesn't know her real well. But, man, I mean, she belongs there. She really does. Anyhow, let me know if you agree. 479-1080. Welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. We're going to get into the meat of it. Let's go according to who's waited the longest. What's flashing here is Band Mike. Oh, my gosh, almost a half hour here. So, Band Mike, you're on KSCO. Hey. Hey.
Santa Cruz County got almost the highest percentage voted for Ron Paul.
Do you know what that percentage is, Mike?
8.6%.
Wow.
And we were beaten only by Sierra and Alpine counties. And Alpine gave them 11.1 and Sierra was 9.6. But those counties only have a few hundred voters. You know, we had, looks like about 10,000 voters came out, something like that. And, you know, 14,000. but anyhow, I just think that might be very reflective of KSCO's promotion of Ron Paul.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. We'd like to think that we have some influence. We're still just a little radio station. I mean, we're a 10,000-watt station, and when our transmitter and transmission facilities are acting properly, which they're not right now, our signal is very strong over a third of strong enough to listen to without a bunch of irritating static over a third of California. Now, I've got to go to work on that. Our engineer is stuck in Hawaii, and I'm going to have to get him over here somehow to tweak it and put it back to where it was and maybe even better. We've been having some tower work done over recent months, and I think it's sort of knocked the adjustment out a little bit. So, you know, when I travel and listen to KSCO, where I used to hear it really loud and really crisp, it's a little scratchy now, and that's not good. So we got to get it back to where it was. But my point is, it's a shame that we are who we are. We're no bigger than we are, and I shouldn't even try to be bigger than we are. You need to sort of be happy with who you are and what you are, and just enjoy life, you know.
Well, let's just call it the biggest little radio station on the West Coast.
Okay, appreciate your kind words.
But you know, it's very odd to hear Rudy Giuliani talk about Ron Paul saying that it's an inside job. When Ron Paul never said any such thing, I'm just picking up.
Well, you know what? Rudy Giuliani didn't say that either. He didn't say that either, but he certainly alluded to it.
Yeah.
He very skillfully tried to make people think that that's what Ron Paul says and certainly believes.
Yeah.
And he did it in a very skillful way.
Yeah, and I think you explained it very well.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is Rudy Giuliani himself knows that it was an inside job. He had prior knowledge of the collapse. When they didn't bother warning the people who were in those buildings, but they knew. He said this in an ABC interview. It was 12:59 in the afternoon there in New York, interviewed by Peter Jennings, no less. And he said, I went down to the scene and we set up headquarters at Barclay Street, and the police commissioner, the fire commissioner, the head of emergency management, and we were operating out of there when we were told that the World Trade Center was going to collapse. They were being warned that they had to get away from there.
Well, yeah, but the planes had already flown in to the towers, right?
Yeah. But who in the world could have ever dreamed? Nobody dreamed. At least out here in the public, nobody dreamed that those buildings were going to come down.
Yeah, I was watching it, and I was watching NBC, and Tom Brokaw was the guy. And it actually, you see the buildings coming down, and Tom Brokaw is not saying anything about the buildings coming down for about 2 minutes or something, while the building is already coming down and has come down.
Yeah.
And you know that he's looking at he's got to be looking at the monitor. I mean, but he just doesn't believe it. So I think you're right. Nobody would believe.
Yeah.
But anyhow, clearly you are a believer that 9/11 was an inside job.
Absolutely.
Okay. Look. Listen, I promise that we will do a program, devote a whole program to that one of these days. Maybe even a Saturday special program, maybe a noon program or something.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll do that. But we will pay respects to people who believe that. I don't think you're going to get me to come around to your way of thinking, but who knows? I'm willing to listen to anybody.
I don't expect anybody to believe anything based on what I say. I only expect them to take a good, honest look at the evidence, and it's overwhelming.
Right.
And Giuliani's words, I felt, were appropriate to bring in on this discussion today.
Right.
Especially in the way he's trying to point the finger and paint Ron Paul black like that. when he actually, however you want to add it up, he knew the buildings were going to collapse. He was warned. Nobody else was warned.
Okay. All righty. Thanks, yeah. Man Mike. Appreciate it. Here's Scott in Scott's Valley. Are you at least related to Scott from Scott's Valley, Scott?
Don't know the fella.
Okay. All righty. Well, you're on KSCO. Welcome. And thanks for waiting 24 minutes.
It's no problem, Michael. You know, that he said, I just want to, you know, I'm so glad that you played Ron Paul so we could all hear his words firsthand. And, you know, that he said that the foreign policy is failing or that it has failed is simply not true. When he said that Osama bin Laden had said that us being there makes the target easier proves that they would come here as a target if it wasn't easier for them to go there. It's like a fish trap, you know. When we get them there, it's like this surge is like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, we've let them occupy these pockets, and then we're stamping out those pockets. So I think that, you know, bin Laden proves in his own words that we should be there, and we can target them, you know, right back. And as far as the hostage fiasco that he spoke of, that's Carter's doing, as is the problem in modern Iran, his doing. And as well as the 9/11 Commission, that they had not all the facts. Michael, some of the original documents were stolen by Sandy Berger, it's known. And as far as North Korea, there's no plan for ground war. As far as I know, what I've heard is if the North invades, it's going to be a nuclear war. We're just going to not going to mess around with it. But that's not going to happen because we're doing trade with the People's Democratic Republic of Korea and the Republic of Korea doing trade. And anyone can have things manufactured in North Korea at this time. Yeah. But, you know, was it Teddy Roosevelt? I'm not sure. One of our great presidents said, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah, that was Teddy Roosevelt.
So. I think that his idea on foreign policy, Ron Paul's, is nuts, absolutely nuts. Ultimately, you know me, the solution is a spiritual solution, you know, that the children of Abraham love one another, you know.
Wait a minute. Are you Boulder Creek, Scott?
Yeah.
But you're in Scott. Well, see, that's what threw me.
Yeah, well, I'm in Scotts Valley.
And you sound different now, too, maybe because you're on a Scotts Valley phone line.
Yeah, well, I'm a lot closer. The signal's a lot closer. My aunt has a better phone than me.
Okay.
And we're taking care of her.
When you said you know me, I said, wait a minute. The only Scott that I know is Scott in Boulder Creek.
One other thing, Michael, I want to say. I know you have other callers. But, you know, regardless, freedom is meaningless if we don't have the right to our own children. You know, by the Irish Constitution, parents have the right to the society of their children. You know, Brittany's children being removed from her, for example, it only harms her more. I mean, she went nuts when they tried to take him, and when they did take it, she just lost her mind temporarily, you know, and they're using that to take all her property from her, and all this without a jury trial, you know, of her peers, of parents. So that, you know, the question is, are we worth fighting for, you know? Freedom is a right issue, you know, it truly is. You know, so-called conservative, which is truly more of a liberal, you know, an issue. And on the left, it's all about power. It's all about money and power to control the individuals. Like I said,
that's why I can't understand why you aren't the biggest Ron Paul supporter.
Because, Michael, of his foreign policy. If we were to leave North Korea, there's crazy people in North Korea that would invade the South. They don't care about nuclear war. We can't just abandon our positions throughout the world. We can't. It's you know, we can change the world. We can get these, you know, Rockefeller et al., you know, rooted out of, you know, these snakes that they are, you know, get them rooted out from society. But we can't do everything all at once.
Scott, please send me an email with your phone number, you know,
sure.
if you can. Maybe we can do a program on this. You can be part of the panel or something.
Thank you,
okay.
Michael.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Here comes Paul in Watsonville. Thanks for waiting 26 minutes, Paul. You're on KSCO on the Saturday special.
Hi, MZ.
Hey.
Has been a while, but
yeah, I think
it's been a while since I talked with you.
I know. I recognize this, Paul. How you doing?
Great. Listen, I'm really glad you're doing this People's View program, if you will, on the current presidential political or politics situation.
Your first name is Paul, but yeah. can I glean from that you are a Ron Paul supporter?
Absolutely.
Hey, I didn't know that.
I'm afraid he's unelectable, but because of all of the,
distortion is the word that you're looking for.
And lack of realistic media attention to what he's saying or what his positions are.
Do you think I'm right that if he can wait 4 years, that by that time the internet and the people will be sufficiently empowered that they will not be so influenced by the corporate media?
Wow. Don't know.
I like to think that's happened now, but I'm probably not realistic.
I think the people may. I certainly noticed, you know, that we basically moved our primary season to the year before the presidential election year, and it basically terminated on the February 5th Super Tuesday kind of thing. So we kind of had kind of a abbreviated primary process, and that bothers me in the sense that it doesn't really leave an opportunity for, or it blocks grassroots. Grassroots candidates that in the past would have spoken and become familiar to the people during the early smaller primaries, but didn't really get a chance to build that way. So kind of everybody that we were allowed to choose from, or that we are choosing from, possibly Ron Paul accepted, you know, were folks who were already mainstream, and so we're so I guess a question I have, I mean, again, I'm really glad you're doing this program. But
what's your question?
Is what can the people do between now and the election to get the parties and the candidates to address the major issues that are facing this country?
Well, I don't think they're. Oh, okay. What major issues facing this country do you think are not being addressed?
We're not even talking much, other than perhaps Ron Paul. We're not even talking much about the people in this country faring well in the globalized world. We are exporting jobs, capital,
okay.
That kind of thing. We're not addressing that.
Well, I think they're giving lip service to that. I think they all are, but no one's offering solutions, really, is what you're saying, I think.
We're
right?
not addressing the deficit spending or balancing the budget. We're not addressing our global military policing policies, other than, I guess, Ron Paul's talking about it. But the major candidates, really, that are still, you know, left, McCain, Clinton, Obama, are not really talking much about the changes that need to be made to
here's what I think might happen, and I think some fair and decent person might somehow get to be popular with a internet radio station or a television station or something where just millions and millions of people, you know, flock to this and watch it. And I think I dare say 4 years from now, it's going to be a whole different world as far as easy internet access is concerned. Now, we got Wi-Fi right now, and they've got WiMAX, and they've got other kinds of technologies that are going to bring dependable wireless internet to moving vehicles. And you know, we have satellite, you know, high-speed internet. It's going to get faster and faster and faster. And probably 4 years from now, you know, I'm not saying the major media is going to be irrelevant. My God, that would be shooting my own self in the foot, because I've got a broadcast license, okay? I got a station that I would like to sell to the right person. And I believe that 20 years from now, a 10,000-watt AM station in California is going to be a wonderful resource for someone. But I also believe that because the corporate media does have an agenda, and that agenda is to steer things in their direction that it will benefit their profits and bottom line, that they're not going to put out they're not going to be journalists. They're going to be and I include I don't want to get into too much of this here, but I just suffice to say that there are the internet is the great equalizer, and it's going to be even more of a great equalizer. And I would like to be part of it somehow in having people go to a place where they can contend honorably and on a level playing field. And I wish that KSCO could be a lot bigger than it is, not because of my ego or anything like that, but because I think there needs to be something that that more people can listen to or watch that's fair and real and decent instead of with an agenda. We have no agenda at KSCO except to reflect the will of the people. That's all it is. Anyhow, Paul, thanks for calling the Saturday special. Appreciate hearing from you. Wow, Rick and Salinas agrees with me. Kevin and Hollister. Greg and Honolulu? Hang on, Greg. Let's just take Rick and Salinas real quick because he's been waiting a long time here. David and Santa Cruz and, yeah, okay. Rick, you're on. Rick and Salinas, you're on KSCO. Oh, no, you're not on KSCO. Now you're on KSCO.
Hello, MZ. Now I'm on. You know,
I thought my button, my finger hit the mouse pad. I thought hard enough, but it wasn't quite hard enough.
Okay, you got a disconnect there, huh?
Yeah.
About 6-8 months ago, I mentioned on another program that what you need to do is get all these K's commentaries, put them on CDs, and sell them to everybody because you're going to sell a bunch of them just locally here, and then send out some as promos to all these places that you wanted maybe try to get Kay as a guest or maybe even carry the commentaries.
Okay, that reminds me that you're absolutely right, Rich. And thank you for putting my nose in it. I mean, what you're saying is obvious, but I've known that, but I haven't done anything about it. So maybe and we have people out there who call and say, I want to help you. I want to help you put together a book for Kay or something like that. And just in the everyday too much on your plate life, you just don't get around to doing all these things, even from when all the wonderful, helpful people are out there wanting to do it. When you,
well, once you make the master, the CDs are cheap, you know, and you can sell them for $5, $10 or whatever you want to, you know, promote them for. But you'll have tons of them sold just locally here because everybody appreciates Kay's commentary.
Well, there's a guy named Ben Ferguson. He's a kid who's probably 23, 24 years old now. And I attend these Talkers Magazine conventions that my friend Michael Harrison, who owns that magazine, puts on every year in New York. It's an amazing event. It's put on usually in May or June of every year. Uh-huh. And I can remember when this young guy named Ben Ferguson received an award and a scholarship or something, you know, because I think when he was a high schooler at the time or just first year in college, he had made somewhat of a name for himself in some local community as a talk show host and nice guy, and now he's I think he's even got a syndicated program. I turned when I was watching Fox News, there's Ben Ferguson talking with Neil Cavuto and talking with and he's a regular, I guess, on Fox.
Too, huh?
And I see that he's written a book. I guess what you do is you write a book and then you go on the circuit and people get to know you that way. Uh-huh. And they start inviting you to be a regular on. Everybody needs content, you know, to fill up their airtime.
Sure.
And ideally, they want to have content full of people who are intelligent and lively and funny and not boring.
Yeah, well, write it and call it Kay's Commentaries on Life, Politics, and whatever. You know, add your list there. And then just take it from her commentaries. Put it in a book form. Do it that way, too.
Yeah, geez, we got to just got this. You're right. We got to do it.
One other question or one other comment. On the election, just, you know, the election is a fix just like most of them have been since probably Kennedy.
Fixed.
And in other words, they'll put the candidates in front of us that they will like us to choose from.
Okay.
We don't choose the candidates.
Yeah.
And so our vote really means nothing. We're just choosing from amongst their list.
Okay.
Of who they want to see as president.
Okay.
And other than Ron Paul, obviously, maybe Romney, I don't know, but Ron Paul obviously is not one of their picks. And I think they should do away with polls altogether because polls influence the voters. If you know a certain candidate's got way ahead in the polls, you're either not going to vote or you're going to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
That's my
So
opinion.
polls should be illegal.
Yeah, well, it's like you're telling the election in advance by polling people. I mean, what's the point of having an election then?
Well,
Because you're almost giving the results in advance.
Yeah.
And if they're fixed results, if they're,
you know,
they're
that's,
not correct.
I've never heard that elucidated before. But, I mean, doesn't that get into a freedom of speech type thing? If you start making that illegal, then what's the next step? Are you going to make people having opinions on talk radio illegal?
McCain already passed McCain-Feingold and said you can't have other groups, outside groups from the political campaign saying anything 30 days before the election. So, I mean, what's the difference? If you're going to outlaw stuff, outlaw it all so that nobody's influenced either way.
Hmm. Wow.
So those polls are influencing people.
Okay. No, I agree with you. Polls, agree with you.
If they're putting out false information on the polls,
there was a big controversy about that, a decade or so back when people were saying... Don't make predictions. And the major networks were making predictions about presidential races and so forth before the polls even closed in the Pacific time.
And
I think as a result of that, I think they stopped that practice. I could be wrong, but remember something about that.
The general public usually listens to the major radio and TV stations. And so they get influenced by listening to it. If you took all that away from the media now has nothing to influence anybody, and we eliminate them as a influential situation on any of
right.
them. If nobody, because everybody said Ron Paul won all the debates on the blogs, right?
Yeah.
All right. So how come he's not getting the votes? What's going on?
Yeah.
Are there that few people on the blogs versus the general population? I don't know.
I think the answer to that is yes.
But if there was no polls, Ron Paul would stand an even shot at getting votes too.
Right. Okay. Hey, Rich, thank you. And as always, thank you for agreeing with me. All right. It was Rick and Salinas here. That opens up a line at 479-1080. And if you want to email, it's mz@ksco.com during the show or after. I'll try to get to I got to at least read the email that I said I was going to read last week and didn't. And it got the emailer all upset and thought that I made him think that I had an agenda to censor him, like the mainstream media certainly does indeed have an agenda to censor Ron Paul. But, I feel terrible that this person who knows me and should know me better and know that I wouldn't do that. Okay, Kevin and Hollister here. You're on the air, and then we're going to go to Greg in Honolulu. But I don't – hey, Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What a terrible sound that is.
My eye went with the wind, so maybe that's it.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as you talk, I think we're okay.
Okay. Probably my hands-free unit. But anyway, I just wanted to agree with you about your mom. But for me, it's probably one of the best aspects of your radio station. I really enjoy her commentary. But I don't think putting her commentaries in book form would work, because I really think it's not just her content, it's also her presentation.
Okay. All right, so forget the book.
Well, no, I mean, I just enjoy hearing her. I mean, there's just something about her, I don't know how to describe it, but it's more of her common sense sincerity that makes it work as well.
Yeah. And, she speaks slower than most people do in a heated debate, although I've been in plenty of heated debates with her where she could be just as fast or faster than anybody that you see on the TV. So, anyhow, you got to get her stimulated. So anyhow, is that what you called to say?
Yeah, that's it. That's
okay. Thank you. I'd love to talk to you longer, but there's so much external noise here that I want to say thank you for calling, Kevin, and thanks for listening to KSCO. Tell everyone you know, particularly advertisers.
You bet.
All right, thanks. Hey, Greg in Honolulu, how you doing?
Hey, hello, Michael. How are you?
Good. God, you live in paradise. But, of course, it's paradisical today here.
It's good to be back in the Central Coast, if only by telephone and over the Internet for a little bit.
Right.
I wanted to call in and comment and thank you for addressing some of the issues of Ron Paul. I'm a huge Ron Paul supporter.
Wow. It's amazing. I'm finding, people think alike here. I'm amazed at how many people that I never dreamed were big Ron Paul supporters. And yeah. I've just really become a big one. I'm a big Ron Paul supporter.
Yeah, it's interesting. He kind of spans across a lot of generations in a way. I just talked to my dad, who recently became a convert. So, it appeals to all generations. But I had a question I want to make a response to. I think it was Scott in Scotts Valley or Boulder Creek or wherever he was calling from. He said we couldn't pull out of places like Korea. And I guess he has to answer the question, how can we stay in there? This foreign policy is unsustainable. And as a military member, I can see firsthand that we're wearing people out, and the military is stretched as thin as it is, and we're going broke really fast.
For sure. I haven't given it too much thought before now, but, and maybe I'm easily influenced by the last person who talked to me or who I listened to, but, you know, I've been reflecting upon this since Ron Paul's been talking about it, and I agree with you. I don't think we can afford to be who do we think we are?
Right.
You know, that we should have a presence anywhere outside our own territory. And because we're the sovereign nation, and damn rights, we better be in a position to properly protect our sovereign nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that we can be in that kind of a position if we're spread so thin all over the world. It's just common sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to try and influence so many different countries. We're in over 100 countries with bases, and that's just too much to handle. We can't sustain it.
Yeah, I guess I don't. I should have challenged Scott, I guess, and he was in Scotts Valley this time. I was having fun with that. I should have challenged him and said, "So what if the North invades the South? As long as the North and the South don't invade us here, what do we care?"
Well, we can care, but it's not our responsibility
per se.
I mean, there are atrocities in many countries across the world, and we. How
okay,
we
that was an insensitive thing for me to say, but and maybe I should change the wording a little bit to your wording. but I agree that we charity begins at home.
Mm-hmm. And if we can't influence by force, if you influence someone by force, that's the incorrect way to do it. You must convince someone and have it be a homegrown idea for them to take it on hand.
Great.
So, well, listen, MZ, I got to run, but I want to say thank you for the good show that you guys do and the good work that you guys do.
Thank you, Honolulu Greg. Enjoy life. Talk to you later. That was Greg in Honolulu. Opens up lines at 479-1080. It's KSCO AM 1080, the Saturday special. It's an open mic, no particular guest or topic in particular. So if you want to call us, dial 479-1080. If you're outside of area code 831, you'll have to punch that one in also. And we'd like to talk to you here right on the air on your favorite radio station. We've got to leave time for commercials for this hour. And before we go to Philip in Santa Cruz about Kay's commentaries, and David in Santa Cruz, and Joe in Seaside, and Martin on a cell, I want to take a minute or so to thank the people, and there have been a lot of people who have, I mean, not a huge amount of people, but, put it this way. I checked the PayPal account the other day that I hadn't checked in a while, and there was, I think, $843 in it. And it was from listeners who went to our KSCO website and said and clicked on the left tile that said make a contribution or make a donation to KSCO, a one-time thing. And on the right side, in the upper right, there's a tile that says become a KSCO premium supporter patron, I guess it is. And click here and fill out some information that authorizes PayPal to charge your credit card $10.80 per month, and it's presented as helping us keep local programming and uncorporate influenced media alive here in KSCO country. And that's great, and I just want to thank the people who have done this, and I want to use the opportunity to, in as tasteful a way as possible, suggest that you don't have to be a business owner to advertise on KSCO or to help or to help support KSCO. You can just send in a contribution. People have been doing that for years, sending $5 or $10. We love the people. Those things mean so much to us. For people who are low on income and but they like the radio station, saying here's $5 or $10 or something. You know, I appreciate what you guys do. Sometime about a year ago, Vernon was on one of his shows or my show, filling in or whatever, and someone called him and suggested that that the contribution to KSCO process can be made so much easier if you just put a little thing on your website for PayPal. And I thought that was a great idea, and he did too, and we did it. But we haven't really promoted it. I need to make a 30-second promo or a 60-second promo and do that. But I'm doing it now. I'm doing it live on the Saturday special. I'm not begging for money. I'm just saying if you want to help the radio station, there are ways to do it. You can send a few dollars, and the real easy way to do it through your credit card in a regular way or in one lump contribution of whatever amount you suggest or feel like. Just go to the website and click there, and it's all secure. It's all through PayPal, and it goes into our account here. The other way, and this – I want you to please remember that when you go to our advertisers that you hear and let them know, please don't forget to let them know that the reason you're there is because you heard them on KSCO and that you appreciate their support of the radio station. Okay, www.ksco.com if you want to contribute or donate or whatever you want to call it. Who's waiting the longest here? David in Santa Cruz. Welcome to the Saturday special.
Yeah, how are you, Michael? I'm normally the David from San Francisco, but I happen to be down here today and was listening.
Oh, great.
You know, you're probably aware of Dave Emery. Of course, he had ties with May Brussels. And Dave Emery, I'm not sure if he still has a website, but you there?
No, I'm here. Someone on your end had picked up an extension, it sounded like.
Okay, good. Yeah. Let's see. Dave Emery's website lists a bunch of different books that he recommends, and one of them is an old one from early World War II called Undercover by a guy named John Roy Carlson. And Undercover is a book about the Bund. People aren't familiar with Hitler's pre-World War propaganda efforts. The Bunds were a whole bunch of little cells of, you know, 5 or 10 people, and they would work on softening up America to be prepared for the war. And they worked in a whole variety of different demographics and different economic ranges, different races, different cross sections of Americans in order to have a severe propaganda effort. And they worked with poor blacks and rich blacks, Wall Street whites and working class whites, automakers and shoemakers, all sorts of different people. And this book is really it's really instructive. If you ever run into a copy of it, I still see it wandering around in yard sales and that. And in it, there are a lot of the techniques and the exact phrases that Hitler was using to soften up America are still in full force in the neocons' rhetoric.
Soften up Germany, I think you mean, right?
No. Soften
what?
Up America.
What?
These guys were wandering around America. They were paid for by Hitler, and they were used as propagandists to make sure that America did not get involved in World War II or joined World War II to fight the British or to support Hitler or to not attack Japan. There were a whole variety of different people. And I was actually flipping through the book this morning, and they had a Christian coalition who were talking about how democracy, how America is not a democracy, it's a republic. And many of the phrases are identical, and they are directly from Bund organizations. And so when it's very interesting, I heard a lot of discussion this morning about Ron Paul and how the neocons are actually fighting Ron Paul. And it's very interesting because a lot of, even though I agree with certain amounts of Ron Paul's economic material, there's a lot of Ron Paul backers who are you know, virtual Klansmen and virtual Nazis, and they can't, you know, Ron Paul doesn't have much of a good environmental package, let's say. You know, he tends to support the polluters, he tends to support the big corporations, and
is that true?
As far as I can tell, it is.
As far as, okay, have you been paying close attention to that? I have not, you know, obviously.
Well,
so.
It's kind of an interesting mixed bag, because he talks this libertarian sort of, the business is always right, and when people band together to stop a polluter, to stop a big corporation coming in, you know, and if it were to be a matter of Walmart or Ron Paul would be supporting Walmart, as far as I can tell. You know, he has a certain amount of discussion about small business, but, you know, and it's, the little guy is always right. But it's kind of interesting, because...
Well, I'm not going to turn off on somebody because they support Walmart. I go to Walmart all the time. I go to Sam's Club. I love it. I think it's wonderful.
Well,
I think both of them are great.
It's an interesting thing, because in the long run, you know, the idea of mass production, you know, the assembly line, was a great thing. It creates a lot of efficiency. But it has a lot of detrimental effects, because there's this idea that there's a lot of cheap crap that's produced.
Wow.
And instead of producing good quality product that will last for, you know, for example, if you wanted to buy a chair, you know, a chair that might last 50 years, you go into Europe, you go into the Middle East, you go into Asia, they have chairs that are hundreds of years old, 1,000 years old chairs, you know, things like that, tables that have been around for, I think, what was the...
David, I hate... David, you are such an articulate caller. I think we could have you on for hours, but I know I'm going to have to step in and say thanks for the call, because we got so many other calls.
Okay.
We have 10 minutes left, and we got some commercials we have to play.
If I can make in a quick line about 9/11, too.
Okay.
I see that 9/11 definitely was an inside job, but it has a lot more to do with destruction of evidence and destruction of killing witnesses.
Send me an email, mz@ksco.com. Maybe we'll have you on that show, okay?
Yeah, we'll do.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry I hit the button here. Philip in Santa Cruz, Joe in Seaside, Martin on a cell, Dorothy in San Ardo. Please stay tuned. We promise we will get to you, but we have to get to the commercials first. Are you there, Dave, to play them here?
I'm here.
What a guy. Thank you. So,
Central Coast grower, you face many risks every day. Hi, I'm Craig Dean with DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. A good way to manage risk is with Allied Group Farm Insurance Plans. DCD and Allied, a nationwide company, will insure your farm, crops, property, and vehicles for some of the most competitive rates available. So call us at DCD Insurance Services, 800-347-6145, or visit DCDIS.com. Remember, DCD and Allied Nationwide are always on your side. Get the insurance attention you need. Hi, I'm Craig Dean of DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. You will get the personal attention you deserve with DCD and Allied's premier service. DCD and Allied will keep your car, home, and business covered 24 hours a day, every day, and will give you the attention you need when you need it. Call DCD Insurance Services at 800-347-6145 or visit at DCDIS.com. Remember, DCD and Allied Nationwide are always on your side.
Wendy's, located at 5620 Scotts Valley Drive, is not just another fast food restaurant. Family owned and operated for 14 years, Wendy's in Scotts Valley offers the finest food fast. Do you know, or have you heard, that when you order a combo meal at Wendy's, you can have your choice of a Caesar side salad, a piping hot baked potato, fresh side salad, steaming hot chili, yogurt with granola, or crisp hot fries? Are you hungry yet? Visit the Scotts Valley Wendy's, located at 5620 Scotts Valley Drive, and don't forget their drive-thru. Do what tastes right. Do Wendy's in Scotts Valley.
Hi, this is Steve Thomas from Capitola Freight and Salvage, located 1575 38th Avenue, right behind Orchard Supply. This time of year, we're open every day of the week from 10 until 4. Come by, see what we've got. New and used building materials, lots of doors, lots of windows, all types of imports from Italy. Custom tile, $2 per square foot.
Ashley, I work for a construction company, so I've looked up all these types of places in the area. There's a lot of options here. Right now, I'm just trying to find something for a particular project. Mostly, I guess, I think I'm looking for cabinets, and I know the tile selection is pretty extensive.
Do you know that you can haggle?
I didn't see price tags, so I thought maybe on the things that without them I could, so I'll try that. I learned so much. Thank you.
That's Capitola Freight and Salvage and Marvin Gardens, 1575 38th Avenue, right behind Orchard Supply. The phone number is 465-6990.
And visit CapitolaFreight.com.
The first time I felt it, the second time I loved it, and the third time I told my friends. I'm talking about ACT, the new feel-good energy drink. ACT is all natural, made with vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and antioxidants, so you get the energy you want without the junk that's in those other drinks. ACT feeds your cells, works in 5 to 10 minutes, and lasts for up to 6 hours with no jitters and no crash. People from 12 to 80 love ACT. Whether you want your kid drinking a healthier alternative, or you're 80 years old and want more get up and go, with only 24 calories, 5 grams of sweetener, and 6 grams of carbs, ACT is diabetic friendly and fits in great with any fitness and diet plan. How can you try ACT? While you may have seen ACT at various retail locations around town, to buy at a discount or for a free sample, call me, Robin, at 831-818-4144. That's 831-818-4144. Or send me an email, robin@ksco.com.
Are you thinking about a remodel or new kitchen, entryway, or bathroom? If the answer is yes, then you need to go to Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, number 2 in Santa Cruz. You'll find full and prefabricated slabs in granite, marble, limestone, and travertine at great prices. Let Santa Cruz Tile and Stone have the opportunity to meet your needs. At Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, you'll find one of the largest display and showrooms for tile and stone in the area. Come in and check out the displays, and let the expert staff at Santa Cruz Tile and Stone work with you to design your remodel or new construction project. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is open Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Don't forget to bring the kids, as Santa Cruz Tile and Stone is kid-friendly with a kids' play area to keep them entertained while you shop. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone, located at 1800 Soquel Avenue, unit number 2 in Santa Cruz. Phone 421-0292. That's 421-0292. Santa Cruz Tile and Stone.
Okay, are we back?
We're back.
Oh, thank you. This is great. All right. Well, gee, we're in the closing minutes of the Saturday special. We got so much to do and so many phone calls. I promised the people who are waiting to, that we would get to them, even if we have to spill into Fox News. God, what kind of a station does that? That's not very professional.
That's a station that cares about its listeners.
You're right, Dave. You're right. You're right. Thank you. Okay, got to read this email here that I said I was going to read and didn't. Or actually didn't respond to here. This is from Richie, and this is written actually on February 1st, 08, regarding Ron Paul. Good morning, Michael. Great show as usual. Warm regards to UK and the KSCO staff. Regarding today's show, we must realize that the real culprits in this entire political process are the mainstream media. They are engaged in lying, deceit, outright disinformation, and a host of other underhanded tactics. Thank God for KSCO and the internet, or the people would not receive any real information. Everyone has feelings of something being wrong with the way our so-called leaders are running things. They obviously do not have the people's best interests at heart. If the news media would stop trying to manipulate every aspect of the news in order to further their own agenda, we might have a chance at restoring this once great country back to the free republic it was meant to be. It is not a democracy like they want you to believe. I haven't made up my mind yet about Ron Paul, but I will say that the attempts by the media to shut him out of the process tells me that he is the right choice. My daughter Elizabeth is a strong supporter of Ron Paul. Here is a picture of the two of them taken last year. On another topic, I want to inform you that I am willing to be the sponsor of a show on the aerial spraying agenda to, quote, eradicate, unquote, the apple moth problem. Let me know if you're interested. I would do it, quote, in memory of John Lennon, unquote. Thanks, MZ. Best wishes. That's from Richard and Eileen Dunn. And it says, P.S., I'm spending you a special gift in another email. Oh! Anyhow, so this is great. Didn't mean to slight Richard last week when I said we were going to read this, apparently, and didn't. I'm not a very organized person. That was a great email. Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll be doing this Apple Moth special here. Okay, we got another pretty interesting email here from who is it here? Oh, I'll just go to the inbox real quick here. Oh, it's from Bankhead Steve. It's real short here. It says, MZ, it's interesting that solid Democrats like Christine Kraft and Billy and Capitola would join you in supportive words for the candidacy of Ron Paul. It leads one to suspect the Democrats would like Ron Paul to serve the same purpose in 2008 that Ross Perot performed in 1992, draw enough votes from the Republican presidential candidate to put a Clinton in the White House. That's from Steve in Watsonville. Thank you, Steve. In Watsonville, okay, let's make this thing get, let's see if I can bring on the next caller here. Who's been waiting the longest? Martin on a cell phone, no, Philip in Santa Cruz. Real quick, Philip, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, you invited comments about your mother's commentary.
Yes.
Actually, before you made that statement, I was just thinking about her commentary and thinking that her eloquence and insight is reminiscent of Ronald Reagan, if you've listened to his short talks.
They are great communicators, both of them, huh?
Now, I've got an idea for you that would serve me, one of my wants, and might make you some money. I go on the Internet, and I try to get her commentaries, and there's a mishmash of text and files that I don't know how to download, sound files. If you would put together a CD that had all her commentaries that you have, you know, bothered to save or corral, put it on one CD and sell it, I would be glad to be the first in line to buy it.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. We have heard that before, and it's one of the other things that was one of the many things that have been great suggestions that we haven't done because we need time to do that. And we're going to thank you for suggesting it again. That's going to reinforce it and elevate it on the list, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate your call. Let's see. Now, Martin on a cell phone here. You're on KSCO, Martin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I know we have no time left.
So. Yeah, we're already into Fox News here in 2 seconds, but go ahead. You're on.
Got a scold you for not picking up on Ron Paul and everything you support him with months earlier.
You're right. You're right. I consider myself duly scolded.
Okay, so you got some education, though. The guy who thinks that he supports big business, I don't know where that comes from. It's not true. Okay, number two, if you go back and look at the election results, this is very strange. This is worth a talk show. Thompson beat Ron Paul, and he wasn't in the race. He got more votes.
Uh-huh.
And that's because of the mail-in ballots, I think.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Or people just don't know. There's an education. Is either an education problem here, or people are picking their candidates, 2 months before the election?
Yeah.
I don't understand that one at all.
Right.
And Ron Paul got way over 3,000 votes in the votes in the state. Somebody else supported that.
Yeah.
It's amazing that, and I don't have any idea why people voted for McCain. You need to ask somebody who voted for him what the point was. I don't get it.
I certainly don't understand how he came from, ready to drop out to the front runner. I just don't understand that at all.
I think he started talking about safety. He pulled people's strings and says, he used words like, we're not going to surrender. Like evacuating Iraq was actually some sort of surrender.
Right.
Anyway.
All right. Thanks, Martin. Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. Here's Dorothy in San Ardo. You're on the air. Thanks for waiting, Dorothy.
Thank you, Michael. Very quickly, we are listening. We love your programming, Charlie and Rosemary and all. And now you've given me a new place for my NPR budget money. I will go on the situation and transfer that over to
Thank
you.
Folks. I need to make as tasteful a promo that we can play all over the place for that. And maybe that'll help. I'm sure it will.
I didn't know that it was there. And
yeah.
I will look it up now and I will use it. Because
right there at the front where you go to our homepage, KSCO.com.
I will use it. Thank you. And thanks so much for Charlie and Rosemary and all of the great people you've got there. It's just so entertaining. I don't get to listen often, but when I do, I really enjoy it.
Okay,
so.
Dorothy, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Best
Michael.
To you. Appreciate it. Here's Joe and Salinas, the last caller on the Saturday special today. Go, Joe.
One thing, when one of your callers mentioned that you can't convince people with force, but you can get their attention with force and you can stop them with force. Until such time as you can convince them, and that's what we need to do. We have got to keep up the force and fight them with equal and superior force. And then at some other point, they can see that their radical ways, violent ways, are not going to succeed.
Okay. Joe, thanks for your call on the Saturday special. We really appreciate it. Sorry you had to wait so long. Sorry I got to cut you off soon. We're already halfway through the news. Three quarters. Take care. Okay, that's it, gang. See you next week.
That's all, folks.
It's KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12:03. Here's Fox News in progress.
The premise of this package is to put the money in the hands of people who are in such dire economic straits that they have no choice except to spend the money back into the economy.
More jobs lost in Wrangell State.
Things did not develop the way Polaroid wanted them to, turning out negative for the company that pioneered instant cameras and photographs. It's shutting down factories in the U.S. and abroad. It will halt production of film by next year. It was digital technology that wrote its obituary. When Polaroid introduced its instant camera in 1948, it changed the world of photography. But it wasn't until baby boomers grew up that it became a must-have icon, an image from history that now fades to black. Bill Thitka, Fox News Radio.
Getting the respect she deserves ahead of tomorrow night's Grammy Awards.
It's just fabulous. I'm just delighted to be here. Thrilled.
That's the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, Music Cares Person of the Year. Friday's event brought out a number of her friends, including Grammy nominee Herbie Hancock, who recalled his first meeting with the singer.
Nobody knew her, you know. But I went early because I wanted to hear what she got going, you know. And I heard her play. It was nice, nice funky piano, you know, kind of gospel-y, cool. But then she sang. And knocked everybody out. It was amazing.
Music Cares provides financial services as well as support in overcoming addiction to musicians in need. Mari Cartel, Fox News Radio. And a private funeral service in Perth, Australia today for Oscar-nominated actor Heath Ledger, who died last month of a prescription drug overdose in New York. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You're tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for this Saturday, February 9th, 2008. Today's forecast calls for sunshine along with a few clouds. Highs should be around 68 degrees with winds northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, some clouds can be expected with lows around 45 degrees. And tomorrow's forecast calls for mostly sunny conditions. A few passing clouds can be expected. Highs should reach around 66 degrees. And tomorrow night, mostly clear skies can be expected with lows around 43 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for this evening. Looks like you can expect northwest winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming east overnight, wind waves 1 foot or less.